This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. The gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody. 88.1.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress. Hope for all I do.
Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, thank you afresh now for the opportunity to hear your word. Do as only you can do. Let your spirit move and flow in this word and in this place, more especially in the hearts of your people. Now, God, we thank you in advance for what you shall say to us and for what you shall show to us by way of the scripture. So we give you praise, glory, and honor. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray, and the people of God said, amen. God bless you. If you turn your Bibles to Psalms number 37, verse 5. Psalms number 37, verse 5. Recorded are these words. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of Almighty God. For just a little while, I won't speak from the subject, God's way is best. If you don't mind helping me preach this morning, turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, God's way is best. Now, if you really believe it, come on, give him praise in the house. We have this word before us, a psalm of David, who has learned some things as relates to his own personal experience and how God deals with him and how God deals with those who deal with him. He shares some insight on this word for us by beginning in verse 1 by saying, fret not thyself because of evil doers. Now, before we move too far, let's be clear who the evil doers are. The evil doers are the doers of evil. And you will note that anything that is not of God is evil. And notice it says, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. You ought not have a hating bone in your body. You, the child of the utmost and high and almost and almighty, rather, God, should be at that point where you never let anything anybody else have on this side of glory cause you to be envious. When the same God that created you created them, gave them what they have, can give you what they have and more. When you begin to understand the iniquity, says, in short, those who are vain, those who are foolish, and those whose work and life end up in nothingness, why would you envy them? Because the end result is that while it looked good now, while it might be shining like real gold now, the truth of the matter is it's all a facade. It's not real, because in the end they lose. So why would you be envious of the workers of iniquity, vainness, foolishness, and nothingness? Notice he goes on to say, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and what happens? And wither as the green herb. In other words, there is no longevity to the foolishness of the folk of the world. That's why they're here today, bling, bling. shining, looking good today, and then you look for them tomorrow and they're gone. They don't, you don't really, really get to see no old players. What's up, player, player? No, I ain't no player. No, because players don't live to be long as they keep on playing. Because that's a cutthroat, dog-eat-dog business. You ought not want to be no player. Because they will soon look at your neighbor and look at it. You might be sitting next to a player. Look at it. You heard the saying, ain't no fool like an old fool. Here he is, can't hardly walk good, acting like he an old player. Mac Daddy. He ought to be on his knees somewhere thanking God for another day's journey. Thanking him for life and strength. Thanking him that his foolishness hadn't put him in a grave early. And so when you see these kind of folk, there's no life to emulate. The people of the world and the things they do, and they get, my mind is on my money, my money is on my mind. Your mind ought to be on Jesus. Because these parties, they pretend to be all of that, isn't all of that. You can be lonely in a crowd. But notice he goes on and he says, verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be what? Fed. Listen, it doesn't matter who does evil to you, your position is and your responsibility is to do good. Because here's what you realize, that God is the one who's going to do the real reckoning in the end. That's why it's no longer an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Jesus said, I've got a better way for thee. He said, if someone does you wrong, you pray for them. He said, if they want your coat, give them your cloak also. They hit you to one cheek, turn the other cheek. They compel you to go one mile, go the extra mile. In other words, I want you to do it like I would do it, because in the end, Jesus wins. And he says, if he overcomes, then so shall we. And so this word is very clear that for the believers today, that we should understand that if we do good, we shall dwell. That's a word, that's a compound word that means to do well. You don't want to just be here, you want to do well while you're here. God wants his people to dwell in the land, do well in the land. God wants his people to be such a spotlighted reality of goodness so that the world sees them. Jesus said it clearly in Matthew 5, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and do what? Glorify your Father which is in heaven. See, there are some good things being done, and God wants the spotlight to be shown on those things. We have on this cycle Sunday some groups with us, and earlier this morning at the earliest service, we heard about some of the wonderful things that are being done. Listen, God doesn't want us to be so strict and so unbendable and inflexible that we can't enjoy the things of the world. The Bible says, Psalm 24:1, the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Everything that is made, was made, will be made, he made it. Gave man the mind, the technology, the ability to do it. Listen, if it doesn't take glory from him, it brings glory to him. All bikers ain't bad. All bikers ain't drunken and doping and smoking and all of that kind of stuff. You got some good bikers. I wish I had a helper from the biker community. Yeah, you got some good bikers, some people doing good things, some people who are standing up, stepping up for the Lord, showing their goodness even in a world that is mixed with so many different things that will try and bring even the good that is done down. And so God needs people in every area, every arena of life, to be able to let their light shine, to do good, so that the Bible says he will cause them to dwell and verily be fed in the land. We got some bikers who are doctors, who are lawyers, who are professionals, who are teachers, who are homemakers, on and on and on and on, all walks of life, shining and showing and sharing the love of Jesus. in every area and arena. Do you realize there are some people who wouldn't be saved if we didn't take the light there? I got news for you. Everybody ain't coming to our churches, aren't turning on our radio and television programs to be saved. Sometime you got to take it to the streets. You got to take it to where they are and show them it ain't no sin in enjoying the good things God has provided. And it blows some folk away, even some of us more strict and holier than thou Christians don't believe that some of us are going to go to heaven because we ride on two wheels instead of four. Don't believe that God can be in enjoying and relaxing sports and so forth and so on. But know this, good comes in all forms. And our responsibility, no matter what form it's in, is to do good. Look at what this word says, and it goes on in verse 4 and says, delight thyself also in the Lord. And what's going to happen? And he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Oh, when you think about that, immediately you think, when I begin to delight myself in God, when I begin to line up with his word, will, and way, he's going to give me what my heart wants. But that is not what it means. What it means is when I delight in him also, it makes a comparison to whatever it is you delight in. Whatever you find delightsome, whatever you find lovely, whatever you have a passion for, he's saying, love him like that also. And listen at this, when you love him like that, he will perform heart surgery. He will cut open your heart and put in your heart the things he wants you to desire. And so he'll give you the desires of your heart. He'll give you what your heart should desire, because what he's literally doing is upgrading the desires of your heart. You might have thought you wanted something down here, but he's got something up there. Even better. You might think that you've got the best thing right here, but God can show you even better right here. When you delight in him, he will give you what your heart should desire. And when you desire that, it's always going to bless your life. But look at verse 5, and here's where we're going to come to our preaching moment. It says, commit thy way. Verse 4 says, delight. That's desire. But when he says commit, that takes it to another level. That's dedication. And I want you to see this. It says, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. First thing I want you to know is you've got to relinquish. So he's talking about relinquishment. Why is relinquishment so important? I'm glad you asked. Some Christians are clinging to, holding on to their own ways. Ways that have led them down dark and lonely paths. Ways that have ripped them and stripped them of their joy and their peace. Ways that have brought them to many crying nights, soaked with tears on their pillows. Ways that have caused them to repeat a vicious cycle over and over again. Many believers are still holding on to doing things the old way and expecting new changes. See, you've got to learn to relinquish those things that are not like the Lord. You've got to learn how to let go and say, to God be the glory for what he desires in my life. And so when we learn how, and the flesh is usually what controls those things that the flesh desires. So we've got to move from the flesh focus to the spiritual focus. Because there is a war, Paul made clear in the 7th chapter of Romans, that's going on underneath the skin. The flesh and the spirit are warring one against the other. And when the flesh wants something, it's usually the opposite of what the spirit wants. And when the spirit wants something, it's usually what the flesh does not want. But what you've got to make a decision is to say to yourself and to your flesh, we're going to surrender and to submit to what God wants, because God's way is the best way. How many times have you literally had that struggle, had that fight, and you surrendered to God's way, and the flesh fought you every step of the way. You know it didn't feel good. You know that was a struggle going on while you were letting go. But all in your spirit and all in your mind, you knew once you released it, sooner or later you start feeling better. And God is so faithful that once you release stuff over to Him, He immediately allows the Holy Ghost to start restructuring stuff underneath the skin. And if you keep your focus, that's why the word says commit. Because how many times have we let go some stuff only to turn around and... Oh, there y'all go looking all holier than thou. You quit smoking for a week, for a few days, and then something came up, and without even thinking, you automatically... Let me just tell you, if you're going to quit smoking, get rid of your stash. You ought not have no emergency cigarettes, because the devil will present an emergency. And next thing you know, even though you're quitting, you're like, just in case. No, ain't no just in case. When you relinquish and give it up, you give it up. You take all your stashes, if it's your little sip, take all of that. You know where you got it at. Whatever it is, you've got to get rid of it so that you don't give yourself the opportunity to go back when you get weak, because you are going to get weak. Why? Because you're made of flesh and spirit. And while the spirit is strong, you need to make sure you clean out everything. And just in case you stumble on a photograph, and it kind of makes you laugh, say, throw it in the trash right then. Because after you laugh, then you're going to start thinking. So that means you know, most folk today, you know, cell phones are good and all that in their place, but they have made the mind lazy. Most people today who have other people's number in their phone either have it by a name or by some form of identification, but most of them don't know the number by heart. So if you lose your cell phone, you're lost. Are y'all hearing me? So what I'm telling you is, if you say it's over, get it out your cell phone, because you don't remember the number, no, huh? Commit means that you remind yourself of what the end is going to be. And when you get weak down the road, you got to remember that you've made a commitment to the end. And the enemy is always going to try to catch you before the end. And it's always at that point and place where you're the most vulnerable. Try to make you think you made a mistake, when God's way is the best way. And so you can apply this to every area of life where it is applicable. Notice here, there's something else that we need us to understand. That the Bible says, Colossians chapter 2, verse 6, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. We can't continue to do our way and think that God's going to be pleased or He's going to profit us from that. We must relinquish everything that renders us helpless and hopeless to the commitment we made to God. That's why the word says, commit thy way unto the Lord. See, because when you make it personal, this is unto the Lord. I said I wasn't going to do this because I made a commitment unto the Lord. Now, if you just say, see, that's why when you say, I'm going to stop smoking to the glory of God, I'm going to stop smoking in Jesus' name, that commitment is more than the smoke or the object itself. It is to the one and only God who we are making the ultimate commitment to. And so it's easier to focus on God and expect Him to do what He said He'll do when our commitment is unto Him. But notice it says something else. Trust also in Him. We commit our way to the Lord. That's relinquishment. We are relinquishing everything and everybody and every situation that hinders us from getting closer to Him. But the next thing is we need a reliance. See, if we're going to relinquish something, we're going to have to rely on something else. See, and the problem is if you just relinquish and don't rely, then what you've done is created a major void. And so that's one of the reasons why people who come out of the world must fill their lives with righteous activities, good and wholesome activities, so that they can enjoy life in a fuller way. That's why a lot of people in the world who are active and who enjoy life and do things think that being a Christian is boring. So far from the truth is that. Matter of fact, if the Christians did everything that they were supposed to do, they would be worn out every day. Every day. Believers don't live no boring life. Look at the Bible. Look at the New Testament. Look at Jesus' ministry. Matter of fact, John records that if everything had been said and done that Jesus did, he supposed that the whole world could not contain books sufficient to tell the whole story. We have just a microscopic view of all of the wonderful things Jesus has done in the earth realm. And when we begin to recognize we have got to rely on Him. Notice the word says, trust also in Him. Don't just commit your way to Him, but trust also in Him. Christians often fail to trust in the Lord as they should. They rely on their own strength, and 9 out of 10 times they fail. They rely on their own ways, their own thoughts, their own conclusions, and they fail. Some Christians depend on others. And it's all right to depend in a limited form. I depend on doctors and lawyers and professional folk to do certain things, but my trust is only in the Lord. I can't put my trust in the doctors because the doctors have limited abilities. And while I thank God for the doctors can't do no more than God allowed them. I can't put my trust in the lawyer, even though the lawyers are trained to be able to interpret the law and make it do what it do. But I can't put my trust in the lawyer because there is a God who sits up high and looks down low, who is able to do what no lawyer, no judge can do. I can't put my trust in those things of this world because anything that is touchable and tangible is also temporary. Y'all catch that on your way home. If I can see it, if I can touch it, if I deal with it down here, then it is temporary. I deal with a God who is eternal. And so I must recognize that I must put my trust in Him. Can't put it in bank accounts, they fail. Can't put it in stock markets, they fail. Can't put it in money markets, they fail. Can't put it in all of the things that we deal with as security down here because they fail us. God's way is best. Scripture says, Psalm 37:40, and the Lord shall help them and deliver them because they trust in Him. Look again. The Lord shall help them. At some point in time in your life on this journey, you're going to need the Lord's help. The word says God will deliver them. There are going to be some things that you get in, and there are going to be some things that get in you. You're going to need some deliverance on this journey. And then the Bible says He will do this because they trust in Him. Have you ever gotten yourself into something, the Lord, and nobody but the Lord got you out? You didn't trust Him to ask Him what should you do. You just did it leaning to your own understanding. And when you got there to a dead end road and you found out there were no U-turns and you discovered that you were stuck in a rut and you finally decided to call Him up and trust in Him, did He not deliver? I wish I had a helper in the house. Y'all sitting here looking like I ain't never been in nothing I needed the Lord to get me out of. I ain't never made no mistake. I'm here because I've made perfect decisions all of my life. So far from the truth is that we've all needed help. We've all needed deliverance. And it's finally because we trusted God that he made a way out of no way. And then the last thing I'm going to say about this verse, and I'm closing, is the Bible says, and he shall bring it to pass. And that's the reward. You see, if we have the good sense of learning how to relinquish that does not have the dealings of God, and if we learn how to rely on God, trust in God, believe God, no matter how difficult it may be, no matter how bad it may seem, but to know that God is faithful to his word and to those who practice his word, if we can just rely on him who does not, cannot fail. He asked the question, is there anything too hard for the Lord? And of course, the resounding answer comes back, no, there's nothing too hard for the Lord. Well, if there's nothing too hard for him, why don't you rely on him then? There are just some doors you can't open by yourself. There are just some things you can't do by yourself. There are some things you can't get through by yourself. There are some ways you just can't make for yourself. But if you rely on God, he will make it so for you. And so now he brings this word to a conclusion on a high note when he says, and he shall bring it to pass. Now I want to tie this end word to the beginning of this word in this fifth verse. First of all, if we commit our way unto the Lord, for the Bible says, commit thy way unto the Lord. That means whatever we have heard from him and what he has promised us and what we've committed to, be committed to that. Listen at this. And that literally means to do your part. Somebody say, do your part.
Do your part.
Let me tell you what God doesn't expect you to do. His part. God wants you to do your part. If you do your part, listen at this, he is guaranteed to do his part. And so literally what that means is, look at it, what the end of verse 5 says again, and he shall bring it to pass. My commitment is simply to walk in the way that God wants me to walk, to do what God has ordered and ordained me to do. And when I've done my part, he shall bring it to pass. You see, I get all messed up in the head trying to figure out how this thing is going to work out. It ain't my business how it's going to work out. It's not my problem to try and figure it out. All I've got to do is my assigned task, and the Bible says, and he. And a connective conjunction which ties what I do together with what he does, which means if I don't do my part, he's not under warrant to do his part. But when I do my part, he shall do his part. And so the believer has to have the understanding that they will be rewarded if they honor their commitment. And do you know how things will change in your life if you just commit to the word of God, to the will of God, and to the way of God, and just say to God, God, I have heard your word, God. I have seen that you have seen or given for me to do, and I'm going to